Welcome back to another episode of the Here and There podcast of the Germanic American Institute. This is Michael, and the date is Friday, June 5th. These days, dates are particularly important as the news are coming at us with lightning speed as we are navigating our new realities. We also have to be very cognizant that some things, particularly those that are traditions, must remain. This is one such episode, and I do have the very privilege to talk with Helga. Helga is one of our driving forces behind Deutsche Tage. It's quite an interesting conversation that starts looking back to 1963. And as Helga allows us to look back, Gina Anderson, the executive director of the Germanic American Institute, allows us to look ahead. What is going to be coming up with Deutsche Tage? How are we navigating our new realities at the Germanic American Institute as it relates to today's events? Enjoy. This is the podcast of the Germanic American Institute.
Welcome.
Willkommen.
Where Germanic-speaking European countries,
Germany, Deutschland,
Austria,
Österreich,
Switzerland,
Schweiz,
blend with the Midwestern United States.
Hallo.
Servus.
Grüezi.
We are here and there, and we invite you to come along on the journey. Traditions are going strong, particularly in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. We do have a couple of thousand years, of course, to develop those traditions, and some of these traditions we are bringing to the United States. The Oktoberfest, of course, being one of the most prominent events every year, but also here at the GAI on Summit Avenue, every year we bring to you Deutsche Tage.
Deutsche Tag was really founded by our members, like the first president was Mr. Moore and Al Grossman at one time, and we have a list of all these persons, and of course you like to have a festivity where you get it was a small group at the centennial of Minnesota, where they got together and they said, okay, let's do something. And of course, I wasn't here yet at that time. I was still in Germany. I came here in 1963, but this is what I have learned. And that's how, at that time, the Volkswitz Association was founded. Mm-hmm. And they felt they really like to have Deutsche Tage, or at that time it was one day, out in was always the second Sunday in June, mm-hmm. the closest day to Flag Day.
Okay.
And it was myself. I was there, my husband, and with some friends, also people at my age, and with their children. We thought, oh, there's a German day going on. Let's go and see what's going on there, what's happening. And it was just amazing. So many, many people were there. And we walked up there, and there was a speaker on a podium, and it was Wernher von Braun. I think most people know who Wernher von Braun was. And we were just honored to just listen to him talking and telling us of his life in America and his accomplishments. And and from there on, then one year it was then the Prince Constantine of Bavaria was the guest speaker. And of course, personalities like that, it was kind of hard to find to get them here from far away like that.
Right.
So we found more local people. And many times it was like the honorary consul mm-hmm. of Germany and television personalities like Bob Ryan. Were you here already when Bob Ryan
no,
was
I was not actually. No.
On KSDP? He was such a supporter here in our organization. Also at our monthly meetings after the house was bought, I'm jumping a little ahead now, he was just absolutely wonderful and so supportive to come here and give us a program once in a while, maybe once a year or twice a year sometimes.
So you came to the U.S. in 1963. How long did it take you to discover Deutsche Tage?
It was probably the following year, in 64, that I was the first time with some friends, which I have met in the meantime, you know, so where we came to the first time to the Deutsche Tage.
Did it seem like you discovered a piece of home when you first encountered Deutsche Tage?
It was really, you know, it was just felt so warm and so wonderful to be able to see so many German people here and then German speaking, and it felt very good.
So that was 64. Yeah. And then somehow we roped you in and made you part of Deutsche Tage. How did that come about?
How did that come about? It really started out when we made, it was a small group of people at that time, and it developed into larger groups of helping. But at that time, it was a small group of people. We made, 200 pounds of potatoes, and it was in a little kitchen, and it all was just new yet around here. And we didn't have really all the equipments to manage all this. So, but we did make this potato salad, and we were asked to come and help. Simply, it came about to volunteer. There were also charter flights. And when you were on the charter flights, then they thought, well, you have you can fly to Germany for a very reasonable way, in a reasonable way. Yeah. And so maybe you'd like to help us out at Deutsche Tage.
Smart.
In sauerkraut, isn't it? Yeah, that's how we got roped into it. but it was fun. It was just really great to, you know, to get together with people and to do that. It was very nice, and I'm still here doing a little bit of it.
Well, I think you are doing a lot. So that's how we actually ended up at the same table right now to have the conversation, because you are doing a lot. But I have to stop at one thing, and I may just overshoot the goal here, but I have to ask, since you mentioned potato salad, which is something we're absolutely known for, and you're involved in the making of the potato salads.
Yeah.
Do you have the recipe in your head? Can you tell us what's in it?
Well, the ingredients, but maybe the amounts, I don't really...
Not the ingredient list is good enough.
Well, of course, it's red potatoes mainly, and lately we see a lot of the golden potatoes in the stores. They are very good for that too. And then and you cook them. They have to be really well cooked. It's very important.
Skin on or skin off?
Skin. You cook them skin on, and then when they're cooked and a little bit cool, then you peel them and you slice them as thin as possible. That's also another important thing, that the potatoes are sliced very thin. My mother always said you have to see the knife shining through the slice of potato, you know, when you slice it. So. And then, of course, you need some bacon. You fry the bacon, and you mix that with the potatoes. And then you have the dressing is just really vinegar and oil. And the proportion of the vinegar is 1 to 2, one part vinegar, two part water. And you heat that, and you pour it over the sliced potatoes. And you mix it lightly, just kind of lift it through so they don't break apart so much. And then on the end you add salt and pepper. And, of course, the onions. You need to have onions. On a smaller amount, when I make it at home, I boil it with the vinegar, the onions.
Oh.
But when you make 200 pounds, then that's a little harder to do.
And importantly, as far as I'm hearing you now, I just want to make sure that this is on podcast record, if you will, there is no sugar in potato salad.
Yes, a little bit of
there
sugar.
Is?
It is just to cut the acid a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually you boil the vinegar, water, the sugar, salt, and then you pour it over the potatoes.
Mustard?
Some people put mustard in it, but I never did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at least now that you can't really attend Deutsche Tage in its old-fashioned form this year, but now at least you have the ingredient list for phenomenal potato salad. So at home, get to town and just make some potato salad. So back to the topic of Deutsche Tage. Thank you for indulging me on the recipe, by the way. How has Deutsche Tage changed over the years?
I don't really think it changed that much, because it was always important to have, except that we don't, maybe the last 20 years, we don't have a speaker anymore. Mm-hmm. It used to be that we always, it was important to have a speaker, and somehow we, it was decided not to do that anymore, because we had, the program itself expanded, because in the meantime we had then the children's language camp, and they were a big part of Deutsche Tage and our garden fest later on. Whatever they learned, they gave little performances and entertained the guests.
So very family-focused.
Very family-focused, yes. Mm-hmm.
Which I think we're still today, too, though.
Yeah, I think so, too. That, like I say, some things have not changed. Most of it hasn't changed.
So it's really, so. It is a rather traditional couple of days here at the GEI, of course, now. Mm-hmm. And it started originally, just to jump back into the timeline a little bit, it started at on Rice Street. Am I right with
well,
that?
Well, that was really way back when. That was really because from what I was told from people that were much older than I am at that time, that was where the highway building is now. Mm-hmm. By the Capitol, there was an area, and there was that was facing Rice Street, and there was this Deutsche Haus, I guess they called it.
Yeah.
But I don't know really anything about that at all.
But so essentially, that's where it started, and then with the purchase of our Summit House, it's transitioned over here. Is that about right?
Yeah, in a short way. The house got purchased. Now, I had mentioned that we had charter flights, and then there was always a little money left over, and there was that money, and it was, well, what do we do with this money? So maybe we should buy some property. And that's how the house came about.
That's how the house came about. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if we want to expand the house, we need to do more charter flights.
They're not allowed anymore. All of a sudden, they were totally canceled by the government. So, but then also, you know, there was more air travel going on too, and it was sort of a reasonable way to go to get to Germany, but then that wasn't necessary anymore, you know, because he had a lot of flights, airlines, more airlines came about, and I don't know all the particulars about
that. And I mean, nowadays it changed anyways, because we presently can't travel as freely, so of course there are certain limitations imposed upon us now. And in front of you, I see a pamphlet that I have never seen either. We briefly talked about this before we actually got started today. The Volksfest Association of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. What is this all about?
And, well, it came about to name the organization. And there again, I was not part of that. I was not here yet at that time. It was I think 1957, 1958 in that time, and I came in 63. But when I became part of the organization, then it was already Volksfest Association of Minnesota. And when the house was bought, and then there was then a vote going on, what do we name the house? So it was named Das Volksfest Kulturhaus, because it was to preserve and to go on with German culture and language and festivities.
So it still ties to even our mission of today, to be an institute of culture.
Yes, it was always the idea to preserve the culture of Germany. So
we started the conversation in 1964, you having found the your kinsmen, if you will, your tribe, your fellow Germans in town. And, of course, with being involved at organizational levels for Deutsche Tage, I have to ask about the meaning of Deutsche Tage to you. What actually does this mean for you?
Well, First of all, when I first came here, I was so surprised to find so many Germans, and I learned that Minnesota really is the state of German immigrants. And I mean, and they're here and there, but it was also a time, you know, where it was not so easy to even say you're German, you know, mm-hmm. because of after World War II, Germans were not accepted so well.
I've heard this in a conversation with Fred Amram as well.
Yeah.
But he also gives a lot of credibility to the GEI for actually having rebuilt what could easily have remained as broken bridges.
Yeah, and I mean, and this is was then just so great, and I didn't really realize that this was possible. That, you know, you said, well, I'm German, and some people, you know, just it's was not so accepted. But we have when the house, we just kind of little by little, in a quiet way, we work ourselves up to what we are today. And luckily, we have all these young, wonderful young people that, and also so many people are so interested in learning German. This is a big.
Yeah, from a class perspective,
very big.
As one of the German teachers here, I am continually surprised, of course, positively surprised by how many people actually are coming to our classes. It's amazing.
I'm amazed at this, and I'm just so happy about it, because I think I shouldn't say that it was the goal, but it was the goal to preserve the German culture, and language is a big part of that. So, but to have it to that extent, what we have today here in this house, is just amazing.
What do you think the future, if you were to just paint in broad strokes, what do you think the future of Deutsche Tage is going to be? Outside, of course, the pandemic that currently is putting a stop
to
everything.
Well, I hope it always will go on, and in one way or another. And changes maybe always take place in something, no matter what we do or what we have done. But the basic is still there. Now, I made a few notes, but the Deutsche Tage have not always been here at this house. They've mm-hmm. been at Minnehaha Park. Mm-hmm. And then from Minnehaha, they went to Highland Park. And there we did not have a stage at Highland Park. At Minnehaha Park, there was a stage. And we couldn't have beer at Highland, at Minnehaha Park.
That's not a German fest.
So that's not a German fest, then, right? So it was just to mention a few things how that developed to come here, and when you have when you want to rent a park, at I don't know if it's still this way now, but the president of the organization had to go on New Year's Day, well, not later than midnight, to the office for the park and recreation to get the permit and stand in line. And hopefully you were the first one, because Highland Park was a popular park to have festivities. And the second Sunday in June, we only missed out on one time, that we had to have it down at Harriet Island, down by St. Paul Airport, in that area there. So, yeah, that was one thing to... and then my husband was then vice president, and that was vice president of Ways and Means. And he's American, you mm-hmm. know, but he put so much effort and work into it to help this along. And then he said, we have all this beautiful property here. Why do we go to a park? You know, why
That's
can't we
point.
Have it here? You know, and at that time, to have it at Highland was a lot of work. We came here at 4 o'clock, and the trailer was loaded with the stage, which our members built themselves. So, and that had to be hauled out there, and we had this big, I don't know, they call it a big boy. It's a trailer without.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that was the Wagner greenhouses, they loaned it to us, and and hauled all the stuff out at a gift shop, and everything had to be hauled out to Highland Park. And then we started at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then we had breakfast out there, and then we were ready when it opened up. So that's how that happened. And then it came here. And I think it was a very good idea to have it here. And nobody ever mentioned again to go somewhere else. So,
yes, I think we have a phenomenal area here. And I think it's also one of the defining events every year for Summit Avenue and Crocus Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Part two of our podcast is with Gina Anderson, the executive director of the GEI. So, for one, thank you for coming back and being once again with us, even though mediated. In case you notice that the sound quality changes, it's because we are in our home offices. Gina, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's if you hear chirping in the background, we just had some baby chickens hatch 2 days ago. So I hope you're wondering what that is.
So if in the future, if I need eggs.
Yes.
Good to know. That's valuable information. Yes. Thank you.
My son's 4-H project, so.
Okay. What is the situation currently as far as, of course, the pandemic is concerned, and now with the situation that we're experiencing in Minneapolis and St. Paul? What does it mean for the GEI presently, and particularly as we're going into the next 2 weeks, which for us are pretty consequential?
Yeah, it's a complex question, obviously. When we first had to shut down due to COVID, and we were thinking into the future and what events would we be able to have and what needed to move online, the thought of trying to do a festival online to me was just... I just didn't even want to go there. Everything that we love about Deutsche Tage seems to be related to being there in person. It's about having a freshly poured draft beer. It's about seeing friends. It's about venturing up to the patio and dancing with the live music from the band. Everything about it just felt like it had to happen in person. And to try to do anything other than that would just feel... Second best, just almost like a why bother attitude. Yeah. But after we got through that, I think it was maybe letting go of the grief that, that could not happen this year and we shouldn't try to make that happen. And moving on to almost the phases of guilt where you get to acceptance and say, okay, all right, we're not going to have a festival, but that doesn't mean we can't have a celebration of Deutsche Tage. We can't do what Deutsche Tage does, which is to celebrate what unites us. And that's what this year's theme is. And so people come to the GAI for a variety of reasons. There's this, whether it's the love of our language classes and students that are taking classes with us. We've had some students with us for over 5 or 6 years in the language program, or whether it's is our event, our festivals, Deutsche Tage and Oktoberfest, and a chance to sit back and have a great Paulaner beer or a freshly fried schnitzel, or it's the cultural programming that are the very small events, book readings. And so we thought, how can we take what unites us, what brings us to the GAI together, and reformat that in a way that people can still engage with the GAI, people can still find a connection, and they can celebrate. Deutsche Tage is the longest running ethnic festival in St. Paul. And we were determined to keep their tradition strong and to find a way to celebrate. So once we were able to stop and look at it through a different lens and say, okay, rather than trying to do a festival online, how do we engage people in a meaningful way? I feel like there's a lot of content produced now that is online just for the sake of doing something online, and we really wanted it to be meaningful. And also at the time, we didn't know, are people going to be allowed to come to the house at all? Is there even going to be the opportunity to stop by Summit Avenue and pick something up out front? So some of the planning had to be done with a best hope scenario. So from that came a week of activities. Deutsche Tag is normally just a weekend. We thought, well, let's plan a whole week of activities, with the week Monday through Friday being an online component. Okay. And then having a live event on Saturday, a way for people to come and connect with us at the house in a safe and socially distanced manner, of course.
So Monday through Friday, obviously quite a challenging proposition to go from something that is that personal with proximity, of course, and the communal aspect online. What can we expect Monday through Friday?
In the previous years, part of the Saturday, which is the first day of Deutsche Tage, we had had the 27-kilometer bike ride. And we know that, obviously, bike riding is a big part of German culture. If you go to Germany, having that experience of biking. And we thought, how can we create something that is a connection for people who love biking and they love Germany? So we'll kick off the event on Monday with our Fahrradtour. And what we are doing is encouraging people to send us your pictures and your stories about great bike rides you have done in Germany, Switzerland, or Austria. And tell us about the ride. And, you know, I love travel tips. My best travel tips come from people that I know and sort of those insider knowledge, friends and family or people, the people at the GAI who say, oh man, this great little town you have to visit, or people that can tell me, oh, here's one that I was able to do with my young children and it was a great bike ride in Germany. So we're really encouraging people to send us your stories, connect with us on social media, on Facebook and on Instagram. Show us pictures or talk to us about some great biking experience you've had. And the whole range, everything, like I said, from families who are looking for a really nice family-friendly trail that they could do with young kids, all the way up to, I know we have some very serious cyclists in our community who it's all about how many kilometers they get in and how many how many mountains they climbed in one day, including two of our board members are really hardcore cyclists. And so a chance to engage and tell your story. People can ask questions and really get excited about your next trip to Europe and what kind of bike ride you could do.
So the manner in which people can get their stories to us is via email or via Facebook. Just basically find us and message us or send us an email.
Right. And the email goes to keep it up all week long so that people throughout the week can, you know, add their pictures, add their stories, add their comments. So it's not just on Monday, but Monday is the kickoff for it. Look for more information on our Facebook and our Instagram pages. Another event which I would really like to highlight is our Thursday night event that we're doing with our language program. We wanted to have a chance to really engage our learning community. We have so many great language students, our adult language learners that are, and as you know, Michael, I'm a former German teacher. So my background is teaching German, and a special place in my heart for German grammar. And years and years ago, Kaspin Erdmann, one of our most beloved instructors at the GAI, and I taught a class together. It was grammar and pronunciation practice. So I was the grammar expert. Sometimes it's the non-natives who know the grammar better than the native speakers. And Kaspin, being from Hanover, was the pronunciation expert. And so we did a class, and we really encourage people just to come and with their grammar questions and practice grammar and work on their pronunciation. And it was a lot of fun to teach, and we thought it was a great success. But we thought, what if we could bring something like that back? So Thursday night, we will be having, I believe it's from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. People will be live streaming, and it's a live podcast. And I'll let you speak to the live podcast part. But Katun and I will be there as your hostesses, and we encourage people to come with any grammar question that they have. You can write us in advance, and we can look up the answer, make sure we have it correct beforehand. Should probably take that part out. You can send us your questions in advance. And we'll also be doing some pronunciation practice. I know that for the non-Native Americans, we really are just sometimes perplexed, what's the difference between a U and a U with umlauts on it, and what is the correct pronunciation of an U? And other pronunciation, what are those, what is the mistakes we American English speakers make when we're speaking German that just drives native German speakers crazy with our pronunciation?
There might be one or two.
Yeah, our bad accents at times.
Is there a particular email address that you would want this to, or should we just use the language email address since it is
the language address?
Yeah,
language
at
GAI.
Yep. Language at GAI-MN.org. To backfill real quick to your question, how is this going to function? We will essentially do a big Zoom meeting, more or less, and the Zoom meeting is going to be broadcast or rebroadcast, or actually live cast, if you will, directly to Facebook and to our YouTube channel as well, depending on which platform you are most comfortable with. The interesting thing about this is that on the YouTube as well as Facebook side, it is active in the sense that you can ask questions as we go along. We have one content moderator there. So one technical moderator, one content moderator, one grammar moderator, and one pronunciation moderator. In other words, you're going to be tackled from four sides simultaneously, and we make sure that you're taken care of.
Right. And it will also be an opportunity for people to share their cultural bloopers and blunder stories. We've all made them when we've been traveling overseas. And if you've made a mistake with the German language that was embarrassing, or you did something culturally inappropriate, this is your chance to tell your story. And there will be trivia questions throughout the night as well. And we have three prizes to give away. Three of our GAI Party at Home Deutsche Tage party kits. So opportunity to win prizes as well. So it'll be a lot of fun. We hope you can join us. Something for everyone, whether you're a language student or not. We hope you can join us that night.
Can I throw a shameless plug in there while we're at it?
Sure.
Going into the summer season, into our summer classes, we do have a range of grammar and pronunciation classes available that if you are feeling that you want to brush up on something or get more in-depth knowledge or figure out the pronunciation of certain things, just join us in one of those classes. They are beginner level friendly. They are advanced level friendly. We have them throughout the week. We have them online. We have them at the house, provided that we are permitted to go back. So in other words, you are taken care of there too. So just jump on over to our website and figure out when those classes are and which level applies to you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in the summer. Shameless plug. And of course, now through the wonder of technology, Gina seems to be frozen on my screen and you are live again. So that's good. Okay. Welcome back. So
I didn't hear what you just said in there. Did you talk about Friday?
No, not yet. That's actually next.
Okay. Friday night, we have a live concert with John Hofacker. He is an accomplished musician. He's also the director of the GAI, the Minnesänger Choir. And this will be this live concert will be live streamed. I should actually say a performance. And he'll be performing German Volkslieder. So opportunity to, he'll be telling the history about some of the songs, musically, what's interesting about them, and performing them as well. And that will take place actually up in our ballroom. So people can log on, they can hear and see John performing, and they can also get a little bit of taste of the house because he's going to be up in our beloved ballroom.
And you can sing along.
And you can sing along. Sing along is encouraged. Well, Deutsche Tage has been this great cultural celebration, but it is also a fundraiser for the GAI. It's one of our largest fundraisers. And we unfortunately cannot be selling beer and brats as in years past, but we do have an opportunity to make some of our best loved food and drink available and still make some money. So we hope people will consider participating in helping the GAI out by buying a Deutsche Tage party kit. And what this allows people, you can order them online. We have two versions. We have the basic version and we have the VIP sponsor version. But each kit comes with this variety of German goodies. Some both come with Paulaner beer. Of course, we love Paulaner. They're one of our sponsors. Treats, a variety of party surprises. And really what's just going gangbusters are these hand-sewn German face masks. And there's a whole story behind those. But we have a team. We call them the Sewing Brigade of seamstresses who are making by the hundreds these beautiful face masks with German themes. Some of them are kind of fun and kitschy with maybe pretzels or beer themes. And then some of them we actually raided our Trachten closet and took old dindles that we no longer have a use for and repurposing them as face masks. And they're beautiful. You can see pictures of them on our website. And so every VIP box will come with one or two face masks, or pardon me, every party pack will come with one or two face masks. So the way that works is you go and you can order them through our website. And then on Saturday morning, that would be Saturday, June 13th. On Saturday, June 13th, you can come and pick them up curbside at the GII. We'll have a section on Summit Avenue marked off right in front of the house. You can come, you can pick up your party pack. You can greet us. We'll be there happily waving and chatting with people in a socially distanced manner, of course. And you can take your party kit home and have a celebration with your family and friends. And we're encouraging people then to post pictures on our social media of them enjoying their party kit. And I will say it's a great deal. The basic kits are only $20. And if you had to buy everything separately, oh, should I mention there's also an Aki pretzel in every one of them.
That alone is worth the $20.
Yes, there's an Aki pretzel and a special treat from Black Forest, the Black Forest Inn. We're also going to support the local businesses in our German community that have taken a hit from the COVID shutdown as well. So really, it's a win-win-win. You are helping the GAI, you are helping these small businesses in the German community, and you're treating yourself to a party at home with this really fun kit.
Is there limited availability on the party or VIP packs? Or is it just gangbusters?
It is first come, first serve. Yes, okay. We are hoping to sell 300 of these kits. And once they're gone, they're gone. So I'd encourage people to go on the website, check them out, see all the great things that come in the party kit, and order one. And, you know, I'm going to order a couple actually for friends and family, people that I want to say thank you to, or some essential workers that I feel could use a nice little pick-me-up.
Absolutely. For those who either come too late and don't get a party pack, or for those who simply don't want one but would like to get a mask, do they have an option to just buy a mask outright?
Yeah, that's the popularity of these masks is just growing so quickly that we're having to rethink what happens, because I think that demand is going to outpace supply. So we want to first save what we have made for the boxes, and then if there happen to be any leftovers, sure, we are going to have them for sale. More details to come. And my guess is that the sewing brigade will probably be able to fire them up again. They might need a little bit of a break, but once they see how popular these are and that we run out, we might widen the circle of people who are willing to sew these masks. These are all the patterns by North Memorial Hospital. So they're really, they have room for a filter in them. They're going to be a great mask. I have a feeling, you know, we're going to be wearing these for a while. So why not have something that has some style and fun to it?
We are truly going through quite some interesting times that task a lot of us. And what I particularly also want to make note of is what something that you said that caught my ear, if you will, was the grabbing a couple of the baskets for first responders and for people on the front lines. And even though we are a cultural institute and we are a nonprofit, I think it is also important to recognize the many men and women that are out there really on the front lines taking care of those who are the most vulnerable population throughout these days. And definitely want to extend my gratitude to all those guys as well.
We are giving away a set of boxes to all the nurses at Home Equity Services, and they are visiting nurses that go into homes, and we wanted them to know how much we appreciate their continued efforts. This was the company started by Bruce Larson, a dear friend, and was a longtime supporter of the GAI.
Well, the thing is, it's incredibly difficult, of course, to now end everything on a high note when there are such challenging times. But I think the highlight here would probably be to say that we are heading still towards a community festivity, towards something that is rooted in tradition, towards something that will and can keep us together the way that we are putting it together. And I think that's really the important line item, if you will, to focus on.
And as we've always said at the GAI, festivals and these type of events, what they do is bring everybody together and we discover our joint humanity. It's when people sing together, dance together, drink together, eat together, we just all find that core that's in all of us of humanity. So festivals are fun, but they also serve this other purpose, I think, of just reminding us that all of us on this planet are connected in one way or another.
I think that's a beautiful spot to say thank you. Thanks for coming on yet again.
My pleasure, as always.
And once this is all done and blown over and we're back to normal, I'm really looking forward to sitting across from you.
Yeah. Likewise. It's, my kitchen table is not the most comfortable place.
No, it's not. Gina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.